Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Native Soil. We continue season five, digging deep into the realm of youth ministry, and this season has given me ample opportunity to reminisce about my own experience of youth ministry, which I hope is relevant, thought-provoking, helpful for those of you out there listening. And as I kind of go back down memory lane, if there's one kind of aspect of youth ministry that was a big deal for me, it was something called Catholic Heartwork Camp. I can't claim to be an expert. I can't claim to know all of the details of its origin. I can tell you that I've been there six times, five as a camper and once as a seminarian, as like a chaperone with a group. But in broad strokes, Catholic Heartwork Camp, I think it's gone through different iterations. I think there's something else called Alive in You, which some people may be familiar with. I think some people who are involved with Heartwork Camp kind of started like a different version of it. But basically, was started by a husband and wife in Florida, I think back in the 80s, maybe early 90s. And it provided an opportunity for kind of a short-term mission project locally. And that whole concept in and of itself, I think, is a great idea. I think a lot of times I'm all about the mission trips to different countries and exotic places. And that lends itself a certain perspective. But there's plenty of poor, there's plenty of needy, like right in our own backyard, right here, stateside as well. And I think that was kind of genius for them to kind of tap into some of that, creating these short-term mission projects kind of close to home. So what it would look like is they would have, you know, an adult staff and a staff of maybe six or seven college age people who are on for the summer. And they'd load everything up in like a van and some trucks and set up shop at different high schools around the country. I think now there's a couple different teams and they you know, take different kind of slivers of the country and set up all these different camps. But basically, you have different youth groups who come from different places. And you all descend on a certain city and a high school. Usually it's like a Catholic high school that will offer their grounds. Kids will live, you know, guys' dorms, girls' dorms, which are basically the classrooms. They empty out all the classrooms. You bring sleeping bags, inflatable mattresses, that kind of thing. You eat in the cafeteria. You have programming in the morning and at night in the gym or the auditorium. And then you're put into different work teams being mixed with kids from different youth groups. And you're put to different work sites each day where you spend, you know, a good work day at a place. You're painting the house. You're making small repairs. You're picking up trash. You're doing yard work. You're doing things that teenagers are skilled enough to do, you know, with some adult supervision. And you're reflecting on it during lunch. I remember there'd always be a time they'd have like reflection questions for you to talk about with your group. But it's really neat because you're getting to know these different people from across the country. But that was the highlight of our youth group. We'd look forward to it all year. And I mean, there would be kids who maybe they didn't go to mass. Maybe they didn't go to youth group ever. But if we were going to Heartwork Camp, we were going to fill up, you know, a bus or two of kids to go to Heartwork Camp. And there's a number of reasons why, but I kind of want to reflect on the experience and highlight there's three ways I feel like I and other people in that ministry encountered Christ, you know, and that kept kind of bringing us back. And I want to go into that. And, you know, I know there are other ministries. There are other ways that people do outreach. I'm not necessarily, I haven't been to Heartwork Camp in a long time. I don't know the state of it currently. I hope it's doing well. I encourage you to check it out. I know youth groups, there's still youth groups in the diocese that go. But I guess I'm just being honest, you know, it's been a while since I've been very, very involved with it. But more than being like a promo for Catholic Heartwork Camp, which I would love for people to check it out. There are kind of three aspects I think that Heartwork Camp helps us to think about in the context of youth ministries, each of which are ways I think that it was helpful in encountering Christ. The first of which, and the most obvious of which, in my life was encountering Christ in the poor. You know, we did our whole last season about serving the poor. We reflected on that a lot. You know, Jesus said, what you do for the least of these, you do to me. In a very lived way, it was probably one of the more, probably the first time in my life in a very palpable way that I was in real time seeing how a lot of my brothers and sisters in this world live. And, you know, to go and spend a week at an elderly lady's house who, you know, has no other way of really kind of making just basic improvements to her house that needs to be there. Of being with families, you know, with kids that just have a lot less than you were used to growing up. It was just a very real concrete encounter with the poor. And to be in a position that you could help them in some small way, that you could interact with them in some small way, that they could share with you a little bit about their life and about how much it meant for you to be there. That was a real encounter with Christ, and definitely kind of an orientation I think we all had. You know, it's the reward. It was about serving them, but I think those kind of situations, anyone who does it, you end up feeling like you got much more away from it. And, you know, you can entertain yourself in a lot of ways. You know, as a young person, you spend a ton of time watching TV and playing video games and doing things that are kind of self-serving. But you come back from a week like that and you're filled up. Your tank is full in a much different way, in a way that perdures a much longer than some of those things that you're used to. And I think for all of us, it was very gratifying, you know, and for, you know, even the teens, I remember people commenting and just saying, you know, like, man, I do a lot of things, but this, I feel good about myself. I feel good. I feel like a good person. I feel this is bringing something good out of me. And I think it's because, you know, we're in this situation where we really are encountering Christ who draws us out of ourselves, Christ who tries to teach us the lesson of self-gift, that, you know, making a gift to yourself is the pathway to wholeness. It is the pathway to fulfillment. It is the pathway to heaven. It is the pathway to participating in the life of the Trinity. Without even knowing those terms, you know, I was experiencing that, you know, in a very real way, and something I would look forward to, you know, time after time. So that would be the first. And I think, you know, Archbishop Brody in his segment was talking about sometimes that aspect of our youth ministry programs is not as present at the parish level. You know, you might go do a Heart Work Camp thing. You might go do a mission trip to Guatemala or something like that. But as far as regular opportunities, I think that was a challenge when we leave Heart Work Camp, is how can you continue to serve when you go back home? And I think that remains a very legitimate question for us here on our native soil, is in our youth ministry programs. Like, how can you kind of capture the spirit of that and apply it to our own backyard, you know, very proximate? Like, okay, where are the needy? Where are the poor in our community? And how can our youth ministry program kind of be of service? A, because, you know, there's legitimate needs to be met, but also just there's a very formative aspect that kind of grounds the faith, you know, when we go out, you know, hands-on, serve the poor. So that was the first way, I think, in that camp we really encounter Christ, was through, you know, our encounter with Christ and the poor. The second way was encountering Christ through community, through the body of Christ. One of the big draws, and I think it's a legitimate draw, is just meeting kids from across the country, different places. Obviously, as a young guy, it was fun meeting cute girls, and, you know, you're coming from Alabama, and there's girls from Florida, and there's groups from all these different places. So there's this intrigue of who we're going to meet there, and who can we talk to in our free time, and all that kind of thing. But there was a very legitimate so there is that aspect of just kind of normal teenage, you know, just wanting to meet people and connect with different people. But you're also meeting them in the context of the faith. And it's like, okay, here's more people who are striving to be a Catholic adult, you know, like myself. Here are more people who are part of this reality than just myself. And then in those small groups that you worked with every day, you know, you didn't choose those, and they did a good job of trying to pair you with different people from different groups and not have too many people from your own group. So it kind of forced you to socialize, get to know, share with, you know, people who you're working with side by side. So that was a very, you know, meaningful aspect of it. And then also to get to know, to be able to know at a spiritual level, to be able to pray with people who are kind of these new encounters, to be able to open up to people. One of the nice things sometimes about some of these groups is you didn't really know anyone in your group beforehand, and you didn't know if you were going to see him again. So there was a certain space of sharing in a new way. You aren't as afraid of like, okay, am I going to be judged? This kind of that. So I think that was kind of an enriching part in which we really encounter Christ through the different people he brought there. One of the very powerful nights of the program is something they call Four Corners. And Four Corners, it was usually like the second to last night before, you know, the end of the camp. And they would divide, usually you're in a big gym, they've been having talks, and somebody would give a very good talk, kind of a salvation talk, talking about, you know, what Jesus did for us and encouraging us to receive that gift more deeply. And then in the corners, you know, you would have, you could go to reconciliation, you go to confession. And I think they may have changed up how they did it, but from my memory is there'd be a corner where there'd have be different adults, different chaperone leaders who'd be available to pray with you for your own needs. There would be a corner where you would different adults who were to pray with you for your family. And there'd be another corner where you could pray for, you know, any special intentions you had. So basically you have reconciliation going on, and you have three other corners where kind of all the adults, all the chaperones, they're there, they're available. They're sitting, you know, with like a candle in front of them, and you can come and pray with them. And I remember the very first time I ever did that, I think it was after my eighth grade year. It was kind of after that experience I'd had, you know, with seeing St. John Paul II and everything. And our youth group was just getting going. But I remember the first time I ever experienced that, I was so nervous. I don't know if I'd ever prayed with anybody in a direct way. Obviously, you pray with people when you go to Mass and you pray before a meal. But I don't know that I ever just said, hey, will you pray with me? And I remember there was a lady there who was volunteering in the lunch line. And she was your classic lunch lady. She was short. She obviously wore the hairnet. And she had like, remember Joe had a big mole. And so me and buddies would be like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, the molly chin lady in the lunch line. And I remember she was sitting there available to be, you know, for prayer. And I was so nervous about praying with anybody. But for whatever reason, I got the courage to say, okay, I'm going to go with the lunch line lady. And I just remember sitting down with her, and she was so sweet, kind of like grandmother type person. And just her saying, hey, honey, what's your name? Yeah, I said, Victor. She said, Victor, is there anything I can pray for you about? And for whatever reason, I just remember just breaking down, just crying. It was like very emotional. And, you know, some of it, you know, the lights are low and there's a candle there and you're nervous. But I think some of it is just encountering Christ in her availability and her willingness to pray for me. There's something very powerful and intimate about praying with people, praying for people. And I remember her just, you know, I couldn't even form sentences. I remember her just like hold my hands and just starting to pray for me. And finally, you kind of got together, you know, I was able to kind of string some things together. She just prayed for me in the sweetest way. But I think it was the first time I ever really prayed with somebody in that kind of a direct, kind of personal way. And that really opened me up to encountering the power of Christ through the body of Christ, you know, in a special way. Another significant moment like that I remember was another buddy of mine, both of our parents had gone through a divorce at some point in our high school career. I think his kind of started happening first, and then mine started to happen. But every year, we would go together to the corner for prayers for our family. You know, we'd pray with somebody for our family. And, man, there were a lot of tears shed. There was a lot of sobbing, you know, but there was something really powerful about it. A, to know, okay, this random person, you know, cares enough to, like, pray with us. But there was something very real about bringing that petition, bringing our family before Christ himself, you know, and encountering, you know, Christ's presence in that person and that person, the body of Christ, you know, helping us to like lift our prayers before the Father. And very powerful experience. I remember that friend, you know, that friend I went with wasn't really mass going, wasn't really involved in our youth group, but he would always make sure to go to Heartwork Camp. And I remember him, you know, telling me one time, he's like, you know, we would cut up, we would have the best time, we would make friends, we'd have, you'd always have a free day and you get to go to Disney World or somewhere fun, wherever you are. But I remember in a moment, honestly, we're both like, this is why we come. And for nothing else, for us to have this moment where we can kind of get some help with this burden and experience kind of the presence of Christ, you know, helping us. the other kind of moment like that of kind of counting Christ to the body of Christ, there is, we often would go to a one camp, and there was a camp director there who, great guy, but because he's a camp director, we are going to try to, you know, bother this guy, annoy this guy, prank this guy, the whole thing. And so we had been pranking this guy for 3 or 4 years, just relentlessly. And the same buddy who I, you know, would go pray with my family, we were kind of deciding who we were going to pray with for our family. And there was that camp director sitting there by himself. And my buddy, who gave this guy the hardest time probably of anybody, was like, we got to go to him. And I was like, no, please don't do that. And he's like, we got to go to him. And so we went down, and my buddy apologized to him, A, for giving him such a hard time, and then just told him, you know, about our families and asked for his prayer. Man, if that guy didn't pray with us in just the most spirit-filled, grace-filled way, you know, you just feel like the presence of Christ, you know, such a great gift. So that night in particular was a very special night, that, you know, when you talk about encountering Christ through the community, through the body of Christ, that was really powerful, those three corners. So there's a lot more I could go into that. It's also a moment in which, you know, people are praying for different things. People are going to confession for the first time in a long time. And so from peer to peer, from your teens, you find yourself kind of consoling each other or putting your hand on somebody's shoulder, you know, talking about the deeper things in life, processing, okay, I don't, why in the world am I crying? I have no idea why. So that opened up some moments between peers, both people who you had met that week, people that you had traveled with, to just have a moment that was unusually open to Christ being there in our midst, you know, to unburden us through one another, to give counsel to one another, to just be present through one another. Very, you know, powerful moment. So there's encountering Christ through the poor, which was a great aspect of it. Encountering Christ through the community of one another, to be able to pray for one another, encourage one another, listen to one another. And then the third aspect was encountering Christ through the sacraments and in a new and powerful way. You know, and Mass, I remember some places we'd have Mass every day, daily Mass. Sometimes I can't remember if it was optional or there. I remember going to a daily Mass, and that might have been one of the first times I went to a daily Mass. I was like, oh, I didn't realize you can do this on other days. But just that whole aspect of kind of bringing yourself before the Lord and just kind of offering everything to the Father that you were experiencing was a very powerful thing. You know, to experience Mass with a bunch of other kids your age who are all trying to sort their life out was a very powerful thing. And probably most palpably, you know, was the sacrament of reconciliation. Honestly, for me, it was probably the one time a year I would go to confession. And some of that was me not understanding the sacrament maybe as well as I should have. But I did know the power that I experienced it there. And I know for all of us, you know, we were going to make sure to go to confession. One funny story about that, I remember, you know, I was with my buddy who, you know, we're going to pray for our family and do this thing, and the line for confession was so long. And so we were in it for a while, and he's like, hey, come with me. So we went to a couple of other corners, did our thing, and we came back, and the line was still really long. But the person who was standing behind us was like next up. And so my buddy, who's bolder than me, was went up to that person like, hey, thanks so much for holding our spot. And so we were like next in line, and So I remember we both got out of confession, and my buddy, we were kind of processing how it went. He goes, "Oh man, that was the nicest priest ever. He's so great." And I said, "Well, how'd it go?" He goes, "Well," I said, I said, "You made the priest laugh when you first sat down." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Well, bless you, Father, for I've sinned, but your sins will ask confession." He said, "First of all, I want to confess, I just cut in that confessional line." And the priest had a good sense of humor about it and started laughing. You know, and he had, you know, plenty of other things to get off his chest. But anyways, that was an experience with Jesus Christ, his mercy, his forgiveness in that sacrament that I don't know if I would have experienced with that kind of fervor or that kind of regularity, even though it was once a year. You know, I don't know, maybe, you know, I think it's good to, you know, encourage kids to frequent the sacrament, you know, as they need it, you know, which is probably more than once a year. But if it wasn't for that camp, if it wasn't for youth ministry, I don't know that I would have been seeking that out on my own. And both with the sacrament of reconciliation, with the Eucharist, with the priesthood, being around the priests that were there, you know, having, you know, I mentioned in previous episodes about Father Steve being there, you know, and it's spending the whole week, you know, kind of slugging it out with us. That brought the sacraments to life in a way that was very new, and it was a lifelong kind of change. It's like, okay, this, after those experiences, okay, this is going to be a part of my life, like from here on. Like, I've experienced Christ in it. It has helped me in a very real, personal way. And I know, as much as I need to encounter Christ through the people of the community of the church, the body of Christ, as much as I know I need to and have been edified to encounter Christ in the poor, I need to be able to encounter Christ, you know, in the sacraments as well. So I'm so thankful for Heartwork Camp and all that it did for me over the years. I'm thankful that we encounter Christ with such a way that in the midst of the messiness of our lives, some of us were more faithful to going to Mass and youth group and these different things. But when that rolled around, it drew us in. And it there were obviously the things on the surface like fun, free day, girls, adventure, pranks that draw you in. But there's so much depth beneath all of that as well. So I offer that for the people out there who are listening and you're thinking about your youth ministry program. What ways, because I feel like if these three things are there, I know for me and for us who participated in Heartwork Camp, it was like hook, line, and sinker, you know, as far as getting our attention, getting us engaged, helping to build up our faith and relationship with Christ. But I think those three points are worth thinking about. Number one, do you have opportunities regularly for the people in your youth group to encounter Christ in the poor? Because encountering Christ in the poor will help to integrate what they're learning in your youth groups, what they're learning in CCD, what they're learning at Catholic school, and with what actually exists in their heart and actually kind of exists. Like, it kind of brings the gospel to life in a concrete way. You know, it brings it out of just, okay, my Christianity is kind of having all the right answers in my head. It kind of brings you out of yourself in this visceral way. It's like, okay, having the right answers, but loving my neighbor as myself, this is where kind of the rubber meets the road. Second, how can the teens encounter Christ through the community? How can the community be a place where they really feel they belong? How can they have a ton of fun and connect to that community? How can they have enough freedom to be themselves, to feel like they connect to that community? But then also kind of, you know, once there is that rapport, how can there be moments in which both from peer to peer and from teens to adults, how can there be real moments of vulnerability, of sharing, of praying for one another, of encouraging one another, of consoling one another, of feeling the support of Christ himself through the members of the body of Christ? It's worth thinking about how can you facilitate that in your, you know, local youth groups. And then the third thing, you know, I think Heartwork Camp illustrated was encountering Christ in the sacraments. How can you introduce the sacraments to your teens in such a way that it brings them to life, that they understand what they are. They need to understand what they are from a theological, intellectual standpoint. But then how can they experience it in such a way that they encounter the living Christ, in a very real and concrete and personal way, that they realize, okay, this is a lifelong relationship that I've dove into. This is a lifelong resource. This is a lifelong way in which I can and desire to encounter Christ, moving forward, that supports and feeds into the way in which I interact with the community, the way in which I interact with the rest of the world, particularly the poor. These things all kind of feed one into the other. So I throw it out there for your consideration. I'm thankful to, all the people who schlepped us to hardware camp over the years and slept on floors. I'm thankful for the chances of seminarian. I was able to go as a seminarian and be a chaperone, which is a whole nother story, but you definitely reap what you sow in this life. I pulled plenty of pranks and gave chaperones a hard time, and I was definitely on the receiving end of that once I went as a chaperone. But anyways, I'm just thankful. I'm really thankful for the experiences that I had in youth ministry growing up in this diocese, in this archdiocese, and very excited and hopeful for those kind of experiences to continue to grow and bless the young people of archdiocese. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to guide us in all this. How can we help our teens to encounter Christ in the poor, in the community of the church, in the sacraments, and so put their roots into their faith that they will be lifelong Catholics, ready to be, missionary disciples, evangelizing and sharing all this great stuff moving forward. So we ask the Blessed Mother to help us with that moving forward. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And through her powerful intercession, Mother God, bless you, all those listening, particularly our young people, Heartwork Camp, and all those who serve teens. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless y'all, and look forward to seeing you back here with us on Native Soil.